This episode is brought to you by Iams Pet Food. When you choose Iams dry dog or cat food, you can see a difference in your pet with your own eyes. Healthy energy in 5 days, healthy digestion in 10 days, and healthy skin and coat in just 25 days. Satisfaction for you and them. Guaranteed or your money back. Feed Iams dry dog or cat food and see a visible difference. Visit Iams.com/difference to learn more.
This is Amber and Ian. No Ian tonight. National champion Marcel Louis Jacques, who won a national title in NCAA.
Look, as goofy as it sounds, it felt like I actually won a national championship in real life. I had grinded for that moment. You know, I took my lump the previous year, threw an interception in overtime the previous year to lose. Like, for everybody listening, blocked a kick against Georgia with UTSA, blocked the kick with the tie, you know, score tied, and returned it for a touchdown to win the title with time running out.
An accomplishment.
I mean, if that happens in real, that's Hollywood. That's a movie. You're selling movie rights about that script. Like, if anybody producer wants to hit me up, I'll give you the whole, I'll give you the clip here. I'll give you the rights for a good price.
Now, is that college? Is that EA? It's college football now, right? It's not NCAA anymore. I keep referring to it as NCAA because old habits die hard. it's EA, I think, college football 2024 or whatever. So Marcel Louis Jacques, already a natty to national title on the line. He delivered in the best ways, in the most exciting of ways, in the most exciting of moments. James?
I just saw the clip. What an electric way to win a national championship. Right? Oh, my God.
You can't undersell this.
I can't believe that's how you won a national championship.
I've never blocked a kick in a football video.
It's so hard to do.
Never blocked. I don't know what happened. Like, if just perfect jump and... I don't know why they took so long to kick the ball, but like the presence of mind for that kid to scoop it up and still take it all the way. I mean, I'm screaming in the living room. I'm playing on like the handheld, yelling in the living room. My fiance Haley's like, "What is going on? Is everything okay?" I was like, "No, it's not, babe. We're champions over here."
Better than okay.
She's like, rethinking her whole life. She's looking at her hand, like,
"It was one of those where
what am I signing up for?"
I knew it was insane when it happened, obviously. Like, I knew it was crazy. And I even posted it on Twitter because I was excited about it.
Clearly. That's where James found your clip, I think.
2.3 million views. Like, oh my
God. This is like the highlight. This is your peak, though. I don't know where you go from here, Marcel. Right, I mean,
the last thing I'll say about it before I drop it, we can talk some Dolphins here, but it's a good tie-in. First day of training camp yesterday, I walk into the facility, right? I go downstairs, you know, grab my credential. Guy downstairs, like, he's new. So, yeah, Marcel Louis Jacques. He's like, "Oh, yeah, man, I saw what you did with UTSA on Twitter."
Stop.
I was like, man, maybe I should quit my job and just be a UTSA virtual coach.
Just be a gamer.
Just for the clout.
Crazy. Those guys make people money. Are gamers professionally, I suppose. It's an actual thing that now. I don't know if I want you to quit your job, though, because we got to talk to you about the Dolphins, since you do cover the Dolphins for us here at ESPN. If you want to find that glorious clip, though, at Marcel_LJ is where you can find him. At Amber W Sports is where you can find me. Amber and Ian is presented by Progressive Insurance. Get renter's insurance to protect the things that make your place a home, including coverage for theft or damage. Visit Progressive.com. So you've mentioned you're out there at training camp. You're here. You don't look like you've melted today. I'm surprised because I have been out there at Dolphins training camp many a times. I remember it very well. But there's enough drama to melt all the things around you as well, because Tua Tagovailoa, he's there, right? But he's not practicing. So now we're seeing an official hold-in situation with Tua?
I think we can call it that. I think we can call it that after today. First of all, this Dolphins team, just pick a storyline right now. There is no shortage of prevalent information about this squad. But let's start, obviously, with the quarterback there. They've been negotiating this contract extension really for 2 years, but with earnest since this past regular season, since the season ended. You know, they wanted him to prove that he could last an entire year. He played all 18 games. He led the NFL in passing. From his perspective, I did what I was asked. I've performed to the best of my capabilities to what you expected me to do. It's time to pay me. It's time to reward that. It is time to reward that. Obviously, that hasn't happened yet. We got to talk to him at the end of minicamp in June. You know, he was a little terse with us. Even, you know, the takeaway quote was, hey, I see what other guys are getting, and the market is the market. There's a market in place for a reason. That doesn't sound like somebody ready to take a hometown discount, right, Amber? That sounds like somebody who wants to get paid. So he didn't participate in all of OTAs. He didn't participate in team drills in minicamp, and he didn't do team drills on day one of camp. Today, he didn't do anything. He was there in a hoodie. He, you know, talking to his guys, laughing, joking with his teammates, stood on the sideline, engaged with it. You know, it's not like he just disappeared. But that is, by definition, a hold-in. When you show up so you don't get fined, but you don't actually practice. You don't do team drills. You don't do your individual. It's in part, you know, on the surface, it's to so you don't get injured in the midst of a negotiation. But in reality, it's a show of strength and leverage. Because I'll tell you what, Amber, I've been watching this offense for the past 2 days. They need Tua. Mm-hmm. They need Tua. And I know, big shocker, the team needs its starting quarterback. Yeah, they need Tua Tagovailoa. This offense, even with Tyreek and Jalen Waddle, is not going to work without their signal caller. So if these past 2 days in which this defense has whooped on their offense are any indication, Tua's got some leverage right now. He has some leverage. And it's one of those, obviously, if they felt 1,000% confident in him, a deal would have been done already.
Right.
It should have been done before Goff. It definitely should have been done before Trevor Lawrence. But there's obviously some hang up here. You know, from my understanding, it's in that guaranteed money, the guaranteed portion of the contract. They're a little ways apart there. But this is something that needs to get done sooner rather than later, because the longer you wait it out, the more expensive it's going to be, and the more the more emotion is going to spill over into negotiations.
Things aren't getting any cheaper, that's for sure, by them waiting. And you keep seeing the results of that, frankly. And that's why you're allowing these other quarterbacks around the NFL get paid, and they keep resetting the market and not necessarily becoming the highest paid, although Trevor Lawrence did that by tying Joe Burrow, right, per annual. So there's that. And then there's like the Jared Goffs of the world. And then there's, hey, if we keep waiting, what's going to happen with the Jordan Loves of the world? And what is that going to mean for Tua? Because all of these guys end up, frankly, helping Tua's argument, because at the same time, none of them are out here winning Super Bowls. Only Patrick Mahomes does that, and I guess Matthew Stafford and Aaron Rodgers, but you know what I mean. There's not many in the league that actually have been out here at all winning Super Bowls. And so if you're Tua Tagovailoa, you know your importance, and also you just generally know where the quarterback market has gone. So you know the Dolphins are going to end up having to pay you. They're not helping themselves, buying themselves any time. But when you say that there's obviously some hang up, that they're not 100% confident, I do think, do we have to differentiate the confidence attached to the price tag with confidence, generally speaking, right? Because it seems like they've been very committed to moving forward with Tua as their quarterback, but being confident in your guy and then being confident in your guy for $55 million per year or $60 million per year, like those seem like kind of two different things.
But all of a sudden, when
we're talking those numbers, it's like, my confidence gets a little shaky. Your name's not Patrick Mahomes.
Exactly. There are players, there are quarterbacks in this league where, hey, man, money is not an object. Mahomes deal, money's not an object. Burrow, money's not an object. Herbert, it's not an object. We are going to set the both of those, Herbert and Burrow, his draft classmates, those were record-setting deals when they were signed. You know, Burrow came, a little bit after Herbert, but those were both the highest-paid contracts in NFL history when they were signed.
Herbert hasn't done any winning. He hasn't done any more winning than Tua has done.
He can just throw a ball 95 yards on a rope. Like, that's
Tua and Herbert, you know, obviously the rookie season and the stats and the gaudy stats he's put up, but Tua's done that in his own right too. You know, Tua can, I had the most passing yards in the NFL last season. So from that perspective, you could argue it's comparable.
Yeah, I think the Tua debate here is, I think there are obvious physical limitations. He is strong as an ox. Don't get me wrong. He is a strong person. I'm not saying that he's not an athlete, but the arm strength in particular, the ability to push the ball down the field off platform to escape trouble, it's not at that same level as we see from the Mahomes of the world, from Lamar, from Josh Allen. It's not quite that, but that's not a requirement to be a good quarterback in the NFL. I think within this system, he is – nobody runs it better. I don't know how many quarterbacks run the Mike McDaniel system better than Tua Tagovailoa. That's he deserves all the credit in the world for that. But then when you look at the AFC, right, we're talking about teams that could win the Super Bowl this year. When you look at the AFC alone, you are not reaching a Super Bowl without going through one or more of Pat Mahomes, of Josh Allen, of Lamar Jackson, of Joe Burrow, C.J. Stroud, Justin Herbert. That is a murderer's row of quarterbacks that you have to get through. And in a duel, if you're going, you know, arm for arm, I know team sport, blah, blah, blah. In a duel, I think you trust all six of those guys more than you trust Tua in the playoffs right now, especially if you're playing outside of Miami. That Chiefs wild card game, it was negative 25 outside. It was minus 25 for everybody. Only one team looked like
it. It's not
only
fair,
one
though.
Quarterback looked like it.
When you're used to playing in 10 degrees, minus 25 feels like minus 15. When you're used to playing in 80 degrees, minus 25 feels like minus 100. No, but you're right. I mean, I get what you're saying. Yes, they were playing in the same conditions. Fine. I also understand what you're saying in comparison to all those other quarterbacks. I don't disagree with that sentiment. I think it's weird because, and not that I disagree, but I think it's weird. The narrative surrounding Tua, if you consider the fact that we are talking about a guy that the Dolphins were being accused of tank for Tua, and it wasn't just the Dolphins who were supposed to tank for Tua, right? It was every team at the bottom of that draft in the National Football League. We're talking about a guy who had that kind of hype around him since the time he entered that national championship in college, and we saw the goods. He was as big as you get in college. So it's strange now that he's a system quarterback, because then he comes into the league coming out of college in that way. And yes, I understand the hip injury, but he comes out of the college with all the hype in the world. And then you come into the league and you end up putting up the numbers in the league, and you do lead the NFL in passing yards, and you do look great once Mike McDaniel gets there and cleans up some things that maybe weren't going right under Brian Flores. And he does stay healthy for all 18 last season and proves that he can play through an entire season. And still there's some sort of lack of confidence surrounding Tua. And that is what is so strange about that quarterback.
It does feel like the goalposts get moved every year, right? And yes. Here's my thing too. Like, I kind of push back against the idea of system quarterback being a system quarterback as a negative. Right? Like, who cares if you're a system quarterback if you're playing in that system and it works? It doesn't matter. We're not talking about could he do this in Seattle? He doesn't have to do it in Seattle. He's in Miami. The system's in place. The coach is in place. The players are there. If it works, then who cares if that's what you want to go after? But the question is not necessarily, is he a system? Is he this or that? It's, what's your other option? What else are you going to do?
Well, and
you're going to go get Dak?
There ain't nothing. Maybe.
Dak's not going to get you any further than Tua. Kirk Cousins isn't going to get you any further than Tua. Stafford's not.
No. Well, heck, I'm not. And are you going to trade Tua for, you know, a 36-year-old quarterback? All right. They are yelling at me in my ear that we have to wrap because the alarms are sounding. This is too much Dolphins talk, okay, for ESPN
too
Radio.
Much Tua.
So coming, too much Miami. So coming up next, we're going to give you our top five coaches in the NFL. Man, I hope one of us put Mike McDaniels because it'll be funny. That's next here on ESPN Radio.
Ryan Reynolds here for, I guess, my 100th Mint commercial. No. Don't. I mean, honestly, when I started this, I thought I only have to do like 4 of these. I mean, it's unlimited premium wireless for $15 a month. How are there still people paying 2 or 3 times that much? I'm sorry, I shouldn't be victim blaming here. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch, whenever you're ready.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
In the world of football, one name stands above the rest. Nick Saban, a legend known for building dynasties on the gridiron. And in the world of interior paint, Bear Dynasty is a legend in its own right. It's the best of Bear, with everything you want in a paint, all in one can. And it's available exclusively at the Home Depot. Just like Nick Saban's powerhouse defense, Bear Dynasty defends your walls with unmatched stain repellency and scuff resistance. And with one coat coverage, you'll be able to complete your painting project and bask in your team's colors before kickoff. Defend your walls and your game time with Bear Dynasty Interior Paint at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Valid only when tinted to colors from the Bear Dynasty and Marquee Interior One Coat Hide Color Collection.
From the top five jerseys,
the Baltimore Ravens,
all purple,
creamsicle,
Tampa Bay,
Falcons throwback uniforms,
to the top five wide receivers,
CeeDee Lamb,
Amon-Ra St. Brown,
Tyreek Hill,
Justin Jefferson,
Christian McCaffrey,
boop, boop,
and everything in between. This is ESPN Radio's NFL Rank'em. The top five head coaches. Number five.
We're hopping right into this thing. This is the ESPN Radio Rank'em series. Marcel Louis-Jacques is filling in for Ian tonight here on Amber and Ian. Amber and Ian is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. Number five for me, Marcel, is Kevin Stefanski. Kevin Stefanski, he just won a coach of the year, so I don't think it's that crazy to say. But you're also talking about a coach that was doing it with how many quarterbacks? Last season, what did they go through? Like five quarterbacks or something last season, and still was out there, still making a postseason, still getting it done. Yes, it has not been flawless for the Browns. Yes, Deshaun Watson actually would have to turn into something. But in terms of the coaching, I was so impressed by the job that Kevin Stefanski did last season when it was a dumpster fire there in Cleveland. He comes in as a top five coach on my list. You're number five.
I love that one a lot. And look, how about for the sake of getting some fresh names in there, I'm going to go with a guy who people were starting to talk about as on the hot seat last season, Sean McDermott there in Buffalo. Yes, they have not won the big game. They have not made it to the big game yet. But the way he's able to galvanize this team, the way he's able to do, he's essentially what Stefanski does on offense, Sean McDermott does on defense in terms of, you know, having backups and the backups to the backups playing. They lost Matt Milano. They lost Trey White. Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde were hurt throughout the year. They didn't take a single step back there defensively. Obviously, there's some things that he needs to get over. You know, there's some conservative play calling in the playoffs that I think, you know, he's still feeling out. But in terms of just being able to get his team to play for him, there aren't many guys that do it better than Sean McDermott. Although, I think I would go Kevin Stefanski. Because he's had just as much playoff success, and I love what he did with Flacco and them last year. Again, for the sake of let's get some new names, I'm going Sean McDermott there at five.
Number four.
My fourth best coach in the NFL, I will give the nod to Mike Tomlin. Now, this is a coach that is underrated in Pittsburgh, where he coaches, and overrated maybe everywhere else, or so they would tell you. In Steeler Nation, the reality is that Mike Tomlin and the over 500 record does count for something when you've been doing it for as long as he's been doing it. He has weathered every storm at this point in his coaching career. He has weathered bad O-lines. He's weathered bad defenses. He has weathered increasingly poor quarterback play. And that's what you got last season, and that has been the case even at the very end of Big Ben era, but that's been the case certainly since him. He's doing it out there with Kenny Pickett, Mitch Trubisky, and Mason Rudolph, and that man is still turning out a winning season. Mike Tomlin is an excellent coach. I don't care what you say, Pittsburgh. You're just spoiled. That's the reality of the situation. That man is gold.
I think I love Tomlin. My three and four are pretty interchangeable. At four, I'm going with John Harbaugh. I think the playoff success, the Super Bowl titles as well, like he is clearly one of, you know, in that upper echelon of NFL head coaches. He was part of that like super team Avengers coaching staff under Andy Reid in Philadelphia, I think in the early 2000s. But you know, him and Sean McDermott, unbelievable numbers there, and Ron Rivera as well. I think that his teams are a little bit more talented than Mike Tomlin's are. I think like he's had a little bit more consistent quarterback play with Lamar Jackson and Joe Flacco, prime Joe Flacco. Those defenses have been nightmarish as well. Like I think he's had a little bit more to work with than Mike Tomlin, which is why I'm going to put him at four. But that's not a knock against him whatsoever. He still has to cultivate that talent and develop them. This is, again, a guy who can get his team to play for him. He can get his team up for big games. You'd love to see him get to one more Super Bowl with Lamar at quarterback, but John Harbaugh there at number four.
Number three.
Third on my list, I don't have any Harbaughs on my list, which is shocking. Third on my list is Sean McVay, obviously a coach that sometimes incredibly innovative, sometimes actually a little bit old school, has a Super Bowl under his belt. His staff is rated every single season. They all go on to success other places. Sean McVay makes an appearance. Three for you.
Yeah, Sean McVay's staff is like having the new iPhone. Everybody's got to go get one. Number three for me is going to be Mike Tomlin because of a lot of the reasons that you said. Who the heck? I could play quarterback for Mike Tomlin and Pittsburgh would still somehow have a winning record or be at least 500. I think for what he's been able to do post Ben Roethlisberger, he's earned this spot. He is a leader of men. Mike Tomlin, for me, third best coach in the NFL.
Number two.
The second best coach in the NFL to me is Kyle Shanahan, a coach that we just saw in another Super Bowl this past season, a coach that I think is so incredibly innovative and can do it with so much different talent out there on that football field. It's impressive each and every season. And then just the Shanahan system, generally speaking, I know that there's this idea that he needs to get over the hump and actually win the Super Bowl. But the records in terms of the conference championships, in terms of the Super Bowl appearances, Marcel, and then just in terms of what he does out there with all of that talent in that system and his coaching tree, it's all incredibly impressive.
Yeah, Shanahan is number two for me as well. I think we're going to be pretty chalk here for 2-1. His cabinet, his cupboard gets rated just as frequently as Sean McVay's does. The offensive innovation, I think, you know, the scheme, how it's permeated the rest of the NFL. Kyle Shanahan, what he's built in San Francisco, clearly makes him the number two.
Remember when, let's hit number one.
Number one.
Because remember when we were all questioning, like, can Andy Reid actually get it done? I mean, it was so stupid. Like, he was so good in Philadelphia, too. And then here we are. Obviously, at this point, it's Andy Reid. What can you say?
Yeah, obviously. I think Philadelphia, the relationship just kind of ran its course. That doesn't mean he's any worse of a coach.
Yeah, 3-5. I mean, he's the best to do it right now. Coming up next, we're going to head to Big Ten Media Days right here on ESPN Radio.
This is a PSA, or public sock announcement. Experts have declared Bombas socks as the best way to warm up chilly feet. These pairs are super cushy, soft, and designed for maximum coziness. Plus, for every pair purchased, another pair will be donated, so someone in need of essential clothing can stay warm this winter. Go to bombas.com/ESPNpod and use code ESPNpod for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ESPNpod and use code ESPNpod.
BetMGM presents Upping the Action with Jamie Foxx.
Yo, hockey's here, and it's colder than ice, like cold, cold. But with BetMGM, I can heat the game up with overs, unders, parlays, and moneyline, all from the comfort of my 102-degree hot tub. Now I'm really putting fire on the ice. This hockey season, download the BetMGM app.
And get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. U.S. promotional offers not available in Nevada, New York, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. for New York. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY. Or text HOPE-NY 467-369. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. Puerto Rico, call 1-800-981-0023. West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Been Big Ten Media Days this week in Indianapolis, Indiana, a three-day event for a Big Ten that is really now the Big 18. Amber and Ian is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. Marcel Louis-Jacques filling in for Ian tonight. Our very own Ian Fitzsimmons is there at Big Ten Media Days. That's why he's not here. And he had an opportunity to sit down with Oregon head coach Dan Lanning. Here is some of that.
Coach, first of all, I hear coaches all the time talk about connection and development. But listening to you at the podium moments ago here, day three, Big Ten Media Days at Lucas Oil Field in Indy, you don't just preach it. You find ways to do it. How are you able to find that connection day in, day out with your football team?
I just think because it's that important, right? And, you know, probably going back to my time at Georgia, I think that's was kind of a little bit of the secret sauce that we found there at the end is it's one thing to have great players that can perform great. It's a different thing to love the guys that you're around. And that's something that's been really a pillar that we're part of. And you're going to have hard moments in football games. You're going to have hard moments in life. And the separating factor has to be how well do you know your team? How much are you wanting to go hard for the guy next to you?
How do you do that? How do you accomplish that?
Yeah, I mean, for us, we do Get Real sessions every single week. It's where we spend time, you know, anywhere from 30 to an hour on things outside of football. You know, let's go take a walk. Let's talk about your why. Let's talk about what makes you tick. Let's get to know each other. Let's go have a fellowship meal. Let's have an occasional meal. Let's compete, right? And we do a lot of it. So I think all those moments, whether it's an opportunity to have all the players over at my house in the summer, whether it's a chance for us to go play Top Golf, I think all those things add up.
What are one of your more favorite memories of those outings you just described?
You know, last season, before the season started, we went and played paintball, and I realized there must be this huge target on my back because these dudes were spraying me. I used to play paintball in the woods in Richmond, Missouri. It's a little different when you got 130 different guys shooting at you. So
let's get the boss.
Yeah, they were not holding back an opportunity to take a free shot.
That's fantastic. Dan Lanning, head coach, Oregon Ducks, here with us on ESPN Radio. Dylan Gabriel comes into your system. Bo Nix ends up 12th overall pick for the Denver Broncos. How does Dylan fit in your system as your quarterback?
Yeah, one, he has a great experience. He's been in a couple different systems. He's proven to be a great passer, have a great understanding of the game, you know, agile with his feet. But part of our system also has to fit Dylan and the players that are in this system. So that's a challenge for us as coaches and certainly a challenge for him. What is he really comfortable with? What is he, you know, what exists in our program that he can already run and do really well? And then one of the areas that we got to say, okay, let's figure out how we can do this better. And Dylan's been a guy that's attacked that.
What can you do better?
Oh man, a lot of things, and it's not just a general one thing that's going to fix. But you know, being great in critical moments, being able to get the tough yards when it's needed, I think that's something that we all want to attack this year. We can create some of those game on the line opportunities in our practices. Being a team that's strong on third down on both sides of the ball, I think it's really important. Creating takeaways and protecting the ball. I mean, explosive plays and takeaways are always going to be the biggest indicators of wins and losses in our games.
How do you feel? And what are comms going to do? Let me rephrase that. What are the comms and the communication with your signal caller on defense, your quarterback, and the tablets on the sidelines? Yeah. How are they going to change the way, maybe you coach a game, but approach a game?
Yeah, the information that we're able to give to our players is going to be something that can be really beneficial. What we have to do a great job is make sure that they're able to receive it and use it, right? So we can't go to information overload. We still have to figure out ways to take really complicated things and make them simple, and then give the power to our players. I always tell our guys, you got a tool belt, right? And you've got a lot of tools on that tool belt. I want you to know which one to use and what to grab in the right situation. And that's about them being able to take that information, utilize it, not give them so much stuff that they can't go out there and execute.
Oregon head coach Dan Lanning here with us on ESPN Radio. We're going to a 12-team playoff. You have not just a bullseye on your back when it comes to paintball with your players, but also when it comes to, you know, maybe winning a Big Ten championship and now pursuing a national championship. How do you manage those expectations with your team day in, day out?
Well, you make sure that they keep their eye on the main thing, right? And the great news about everyone that has a prediction about our place in the Big Ten or where we finish at the end of the season, zero of them are going to have any impact on our games, right? We impact our games. Nobody else outside of that room of our players is going to make an impact. So reminding them that they're the secret sauce, they're the piece that actually gets to, you know, translate to success on the field, and no outside noise is going to impact that. I think our players do a really good job of level setting and recognizing that. We'll see if it carries over for this season.
With this new look, what's one of the more positive things? Everyone talks about the travel and this and that and whatnot. I think Ohio State going to Austin is awesome for college football fans. What's one of the more positive things about the new shakeup in the landscape of college football?
Well, you just said it. I don't think college football has ever been more exciting than it is right now, right? Not in the history that I've been around. And some new venues, some new opponents, some new teams that are going to play. It's really positioned us well to have a great product out there for the fans and some great experiences for our players. They're going to get to travel to places they've never been. Our guys are excited about it. They're really fired up about it. I'm excited about the vision of this conference and getting to be affiliated with it. This is one that, you know, I've, you know, really seen from afar and had a lot of respect for, and now, you know, getting to be a part of it matters.
I woke up Tuesday morning here at Big Ten Media Days, and there was a big-ass duck on the river outside my hotel room. Who would mastermind in marketing? And that thing was like two stories high. Who came up with that?
You didn't see me out there blowing it up.
No, it was Marshall Malchow. You're the chief of staff.
Malchow's out there doing it. No, I just think that's a great example. We talk about being mighty different here, right? And that's a great example of how Oregon's different. They're innovative.
That's awesome.
We don't want to, you know, come into the door and just say, hey, we're here, the new guy. No, we'd like to come in with a bang. And it probably bothers some people, and that means you're probably doing something right.
I can see Marshall being behind that, a two-story duck floating down the river. Most important question to you as we wrap up here on ESPN Radio, Coach. How are you going to survive in advance week in, week out with a Fitzsimmons now being an Oregon Duck?
Boy, we just got stronger, didn't we? We just got stronger.
Are you sure about that?
We just got stronger. I'm excited about it. Can't wait to see you around the facility. It's going to be fun moments, man. I thought you were going to ask me dark meat or white meat. We are pumped to have her on our campus.
You're out of your mind. Good to see you, Coach. Thank you, buddy.
Appreciate you, brother.
That was our very own Ian Fitzsimmons, a reference to his daughter, who will be starting at Oregon as a college freshman this next upcoming season. I know Dan Lanning had a little something to do with talking her into choosing Oregon over her other options. Dan Lanning also had a little something to do with the attention and the spotlight given to Oregon at Big Ten Media Days. Now they are part of the Big 18, Marcel, as I like to call it, which I credit the Big Ten for not bothering to rebrand, because it clearly signifies that they know that conference realignment ain't done yet, and that they don't want to have to continue to rebrand. Like, these conferences have just given up. They're like, you know what? We're just going to stay the Pac-12. We're just going to stay the Big Ten. Like, we're just going to rock with it all. And then maybe one day, eventually, if there's 35 teams in this thing, maybe then one day we'll get a name change.
That's it. The 10 in Big Ten and the 12 in Big 12. It's more of a construct than, you know, yes, something to be taken literally. It's just a name. At the end of the day, it's just a name. Like, nothing matters anymore. The Southeastern Conference is the only one that's regionally accurate now, because we got Atlantic, we got Pacific Coast teams.
Is Oklahoma the South? I don't think of Oklahoma as the South. I mean, is it Midwest? I feel like Oklahoma's more Midwest, right? And now they're part of the SEC.
Probably, but I would say that Oklahoma playing in the Southeastern Conference makes more geographical sense than Cal and Stanford, which you can see the Pacific Ocean from Cal's campus. At the very least, the San Francisco Bay would bleed into the Pacific Ocean. Playing in the Atlantic Coast Conference, that makes no sense to me, personally.
That's
an insult.
To geography
everywhere.
Directions, to compasses. It's offensive to compasses.
And you know who else it's offensive to? The student athletes who signed up to play games on the West Coast, especially those who are from there, so their families can travel here, there, and the third. Like, I'm surprised there weren't more. And if there were, maybe just I missed it or it wasn't publicized. Mass transfers away from these, from Stanford and Cal. Because what the heck do I care? I don't want to. My family's not going to come watch me play Syracuse. They're not going to come watch me play NC State. I thought I was playing Cal. I thought I was playing Oregon. I thought I was playing UCLA. Now, that was disrespectful. Those student athletes students, whatever they want to be called now, they can be rightfully upset, furious about that decision, which, of course, they had no control over.
And we're going to continue to see that. I mean, you even see that here in the Big Ten. I mean, you see Oregon, obviously, with Dan Lanning, and then you see Rutgers in the Big Ten, right, in Jersey. Like, I mean, we see it all across now with conference realignment, geography be damned. And the whole purpose of these things used to be quite literally geography, because, of course, it makes sense when you're considering the travel schedules of these kids. But nobody cares about the travel schedules anymore, because it's about money, honey. And it's about who has the biggest television contracts and who has the most money to go around in these conferences and who's pooling their resources together. I don't blame these schools for going after the money. It's something that Oregon is definitely doing, though, joining the Big Ten, where they feel like they'll be getting a bigger piece of that, of the pie that they deserve, and some more security there in terms of the conference. Kirby Smart, the Georgia head coach, had a funny joke about Dan Lanning and Oregon at Big Ten Media Days. He said that he wished that he had the NIL money that Oregon and Dan Lanning have. And so Dan Lanning took a shot back and he said, I think it's really impressive that guys like Kirby have been signing the number one class in the nation without any NIL money all these years, which I thought was
very interesting.
Really,
I like Dan,
really funny little back and forth.
A little ironic. Obviously, Dan Lanning coming from Georgia and knows Kirby Smart very well. But, you know, I like Dan Lanning. That whole speech that was, you know, overplayed to hell before the Colorado game. The Cinderella story is over, man. We play on the field. We play with our pads. Not for likes. Not for clicks. I thought it was corny, but the more I watched it, at first I thought it was corny. The more I watched it, I was like, you know what? I kind of like this guy. I kind of like Dan Lanning. I think he's a good fit there up at Oregon. But like, but you're right. You made a good point. Like with NIL money being so prevalent and people getting, you know, student athletes, players, whatever, getting paid, the NCAA and these schools, they just said, look, man, then we're going to make business decisions. We're going to make business decisions. And part of that business is joining the Big Ten and joining these major conferences.
And that's what it is. It's a business decision. So the new Big Ten is now the Big 18. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, Jerry Jones said some stuff today. That's always entertaining. We'll head to Dallas next on ESPN Radio.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like UNTUCKit or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling. On the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout UNTUCKit uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/network.
Finding the right employee for your company is tough. One wrong hire can be a major setback. You're not alone if you face this. A recent survey by Robert Half shows nearly half of hiring managers readily admit to making a bad hire. Luckily, there's a solution. With Robert Half's specialized recruiter's experience, combined with our award-winning AI, you can have the right skilled professional in place quickly. We understand what it takes to build winning teams because at Robert Half, we know talent. Discover how we can help at roberthalf.com/talent.
I do not think that this will be his last year with the Cowboys at all. They want to win. They want to put a ring on their finger. And they understand the difficult situation we have with a high-priced quarterback.
There's a lot going on there. I think the Dallas Cowboys can win the Super Bowl.
Well, the Dallas Cowboys tend to make us happy around here at ESPN because the owner of the Dallas Cowboys loves to provide us content. Every time Jerry Jones speaks, it is gold. It is content gold. And he did a lot of speaking today out of Cowboys training camp. Amber and Ian is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. Marcel Louis-Jacques filling in for Ian tonight. So Jerry Jones, he owns the Dallas Cowboys, and he's going to answer the questions, all questions that are coming his way. They don't always make sense, his answer. Sometimes he says, for example, we are all in, and then the Cowboys do absolutely nothing in an off season. However, we got some gold from him today about his quarterback, Dak Prescott, because unusually he hasn't yet paid his quarterback, or maybe his quarterback hasn't accepted the deal. I don't know if this is all on Dallas, frankly, but they don't actually have a deal in place past this year with Dak Prescott, but he's pretty confident that Dak's his guy for the future. Take a listen.
I don't think so. Just to be very specific, I do not think that this will be his last year with the Cowboys at all. Am I being psychotic relative to my mirror? No. I mean, it's pretty clear, I think. I want to say it if it hadn't been clear, of how much we appreciate what Dak Prescott has meant to this team in a positive way. And the players do play better when he's out there. He does make his teammates play at a higher level. There's no question about it.
Is he being psychotic to his mirror?
Did he mean to say psychic? Or
no.
Because for the record, I think what he's doing is psychotic. I think this is the offseason has been psychotic. Not being able to come to terms with your quarterback and your star receiver and your star edge rusher and your best addition, your best free agent signing was Eric Kendricks. Mm-hmm. Zeke Elliott, like what page of the All In handbook is this on? Like, did I miss that? Did I skim by it over here while I'm focusing on teams that actually go all in, like Houston? Like, did I miss something here? Like, that, I don't understand what they're doing. Somebody needs to infiltrate the Jones family, the Cowboys Jones family, and just kind of usurp control there a little bit. Just, I don't know what they're doing. They're running this like an entertainment show, not like a football team.
I tend to defend them a bit when it comes to Dak's contract, because Dak has all the power in that situation. So although we make this assumption like Dallas isn't stepping up to the plate, the reality is that Dak could be saying no, right? And he could be saying no over. I mean, I have no idea. They might be offering him reasonable stuff. They might, you know, he might be, hey, we'll put you up there with all the highest paid quarterbacks. And Dak might just be saying no, because I have all the power. I want to be able to go test a free agent market, or I want to keep pushing my limits for now and see how far that takes him. That's fine. My argument runs a little thin though, when we bring in CD and we bring in Mike into the conversation as well. Cause I'm like, can they all be doing that? I don't think so. Those other two guys don't have the no trade clause, no franchise tag, all the power of Dak and the quarterback position behind them, right? It's a little different. So it feels like deals would be in place if, in fact, the Dallas Cowboys were at the negotiating table and also making a decent offer to either of those other two guys. Now, at the same time, Marcel, I guess it could be that Dak's priority number one. So if they can't get it done with Dak, then CD and Micah, that can is just getting kicked down the road. But again, it's hard when it's all three of them. And on top of that, like you said, they haven't brought in anybody else, really, to no other real game changers here this offseason. It's hard to feel like the Dallas Cowboys are doing anything of competence this offseason, despite what Jerry's saying.
Yeah, it feels like the only star that they've taken care of, like no questions asked, was Trevon Diggs, right? Like that extension kind of came out of nowhere last year. But we've seen this format before from them, right? Like Zach Martin had to hold out to get what he wanted last year. Zeke Elliott famously went to Cabo instead of training camp when he was waiting for a new deal a few years back. Like I think Dak even flirted with the idea of a holdout. Like this is commonplace with the Cowboys. It's almost as if a message is being sent that like nobody is bigger than the star, right? Like nobody is bigger than the brand, which sure, fine. If that's what you believe, you could say that and believe that in your heart until, you know, Super Bowl trophies grow legs, but you're not going to catch one by not signing your star players. The CeeDee Lamb situation, I understand if Dak is more important, the quarterback is more important here. I understand if you're trying to save some money for Micah Parsons. But you're letting these relationships, these situations deteriorate to a point where your guy, he doesn't even want to show up to camp. What the hell are the Cowboys without CeeDee Lamb this year? What is that offense? Are they a wild card team with no CeeDee Lamb this year? Really? Can they make the wild card, even in the NFC?
I mean, I don't know. I will say the season before, they got rid of Dak's number one weapon, and we thought, well, how are they going to make up that production? And then CeeDee Lamb comes onto the scene, and then now it's like, well, what are they going to do without CD? And so maybe that's the sort of thing that front office is counting on. That they feel like, well, we'll find somebody else. Somebody else will step up at that wide receiver position. I don't envy Dallas's situation by any means from the Cowboys' perspective, because the problem is they have three guys who want to get paid all at the same time at the top of their position. And that means that they have that level of talent. That's a good situation for Dallas to be in. It's why they have three 12-win seasons in a row. It's why they won the division last season. But the negative side of that, Marcel, is that you have to figure out how to pay all of those guys in a salary cap sport. And at some point, I would imagine if you're that front office, it starts feeling a little cumbersome when it's Dak. And then also now CD wants to be, I mean, you know, we saw where Justin Jefferson set the market there. And then Micah wants to be the highest paid ever at his position. I'm not saying those guys don't deserve it. I'm just saying you're talking about three dudes who want to set NFL records in terms of their contract. Jerry Jones, he also talks about why he is patient to get deals done. Take a listen.
And if you want to picture an option, pure option quarterback going out to the sideline, I have run that ball and kept it and not hand it off to the back, not pitch it back, not throw it. And I have run that thing all the way out to the sideline before I made the decision. Because I couldn't get whatever it took it wasn't right for me to make the decision. And so what our fans, what you're seeing, what we deal with is we're buying time. We're option quarterbacking, and we're going on out toward the sideline, and we haven't handed it off. We haven't pitched it. We're trying to make our mind up what to do. Does that sound like Mahomes to you?
No. No, you're not Mahomes, Jerry. That would, oh my goodness, man. I feel for you, Cowboys fans. I feel for you. That is unbelievably frustrating to hear. And I don't have, my fiance's a Cowboys fan. Beyond that, I have no ties to that team. I'm going to make it very simple for you. Pay Micah. Pay CD. If Dak wants 65, let him get 65 elsewhere. Let him get 65 elsewhere. Because I'll tell you what, so you have CD in his prime. You have CD in his prime. Go find another serviceable quarterback. A quarterback walks into a ready-made situation where they've got a number one receiver. They've got a number one pass catching
tight end. Don't just grow on trees, by the way, Marcel. I don't know if Trey Lance is that, by the way.
But neither does $65 million a year.
Well, that is true. Coming up next, plenty more on ESPN Radio.